Our reading this morning is a brief personal letter written by a student minister while at a retreat in the mountains of North Georgia. Each member of the retreat was asked to write a letter to themselves that would be mailed to them a year after the retreat was over. Letter to Self, November 11th, 2010. Hey buddy, I am writing you this from the mountain. I hope you still remember the experience of praying for another minister after deep listening and the experience of being prayed for. Maybe by now you are feeling the effect of those prayers so that the God of quarks and gluons reveals herself or himself to be also the God of immanent love and transcendence. Remember how you felt your ministry drawn towards pastoral care. Reflect on where you are now. Remember the joy of singing and the joy of dance. Remember the beauty of the mountain, the warmth of the sun, and the quiet where the rustling of a squirrel in the dry leaves could be heard in the distance. Remember the beauty of the night sky from the top of the tower. Remember laying on your back, looking at the Milky Way, and seeing a meteor streak across the sky. Remember, take time, slow down, love everyone and everything.
Thank you, Marilyn, for reading that. You might have guessed that the minister who wrote that was the minister standing before you this morning. The words recall for me one of the most powerful times of reflection and renewal in my life. And after preparing the sermon this morning, I realized that this may be more so than some other sermons is kind of a personal reflection. The topic, the idea of making way for renewal is something I think we all deal with and struggle with. And so what I'm going to say is my reflection on that and how it affects my life. Other people, I'm sure, respond in different ways. So the sermon this morning is based on two simple ideas. First of which is that we all need renewal in our lives. And the second is that renewal requires that we give something up, that we lose something in order to allow space for something new and renewed to grow in our lives. It's no accident that I'm speaking to you about the need to make space for renewal during the month of March and on the first day of spring. I guess we didn't acknowledge that, did we? It is officially the first day of spring. Nature teaches us that there is no renewal without loss, without something yielding to the new. Winter must yield in order to make space for spring. I begin with the premise that we all need renewal in our lives. As Viktor Frankl has so eloquently stated, people do not simply exist, but always decide what their existence will be, what we will become in the next moment. It's that decision to become something in the next moment that's at the heart of the idea of renewal. The lack of renewal is the definition of stagnation, a state of failure to develop or grow or advance. Our lives are like that if we fail to heed the advice of Viktor Frankl and make conscious decisions about what our existence will be. If we fail to do that, then we will stagnate. We'll change over time, but it may not be in the direction that we would choose for ourselves. If we leave it to chance, typically our lives become smaller. Our connections to others become weaker and less vibrant, and our connections to life itself become less compelling. We absolutely need to give meaning to our lives. And giving meaning requires that we renew our engagement with life on a regular basis. The most obvious example of renewal in our lives is what happens to us after a good night's sleep. We awake to a new day, renewed, refreshed, and ready to take on the challenge of the next moments, rather than have it take charge of us. That's after a good night's sleep. CBC television program The Nature of Things had a special on just the other night about what they're discovering about the importance of sleep. Someone once said, I heard them say on the radio that as little as 20 or 30 years ago, scientists would say the one sure thing we know about sleep is that it exists to cure sleepiness. And that was about all we knew about it. But now they're doing a lot of study of what's going on in the brain while you're sleeping. It turns out we need sleep in a time of renewal for our brains to absorb the experiences of the previous day. Those who learned a new skill but failed to sleep afterwards were much less proficient than those who slept after learning. Even more profound, sleep researchers have concluded that we need sleep to make sense of our daily experience. The theory, at least, is that during the day, we have all kinds of experiences that are stored in crude memories in a specialized part of our brain. And then during sleep, the brain works to make connections between our disparate experiences and literally to make meaning out of the experience we had in the previous day. This would explain the common experience of waking up in the morning with a solution to a problem that we'd been struggling with the previous day. All the pieces of the solution were there, but our brain needed that miracle of sleep, that renewal, to piece the puzzle together. In this view, we don't consciously search for meaning in our lives, but rather our brains are subconsciously doing the work for us every night during that period of renewal that we call sleep. We're bombarded through the media with horrendous stories of violence and human suffering every day. We have little control over how these negative images enter into our minds and become part of our memories. That makes it all the more important that we consciously work at renewal. The Reverend Peter Morales, who's the president of the Unitarian Universalist Association in the United States, recently wrote the following. When we witness brutality, injustice, the stupidity of our politics, heartless human exploitation by the economically powerful, and the wanton devastation of nature, when we find ourselves becoming bitter, we need to remind ourselves of our most treasured experiences. Actually, we need to do more than remember. We need to experience life's gifts and possibilities once more. Renewing contact with what is most precious in life is really a spiritual practice. It's an essential practice. If we do not feed our spirits, we will wither. Even the good deeds we strive to do will become acts of anger and joyless obligation, rather than efforts to share and efforts to heal. Here ends the quote. So this process of renewal with sleep is iterative. We have experiences during the day, some of which are forced upon us, and some of which may be conscious efforts to renew our perspective on life and to give meaning, in Frankl's words, to decide what we will become. And then at night, in a process of renewal, our brains make this part of our memory, parts of who we are. We're being renewed every day, whether we like it or not. We may be renewed through a process of planning and decision-making, or we may be renewed through a process of stagnation and neglect. Life never stands still. Our lives are full. This is what I... By this I mean to say that we're always doing something, from the most active study or exercise to resting and watching a television show. We're always occupied. And so if we make a conscious effort at renewal, we must choose to let go of something. There are only so many hours in the day. And if we choose to do something new, we must give up something old. So we're dealing with this theme of renewal in March, a time when winter must give way to spring. Just as you cannot have spring without giving up winter, you cannot have true renewal in your life without giving up something else. Some old habits, some fixed routines, some outgrown ways of thinking, some parts of your life that you may be very attached to. While preparing for this sermon, I went to my filing cabinet at home to file away a reading that I wanted to save for the future. Let me show you that. A little visual aid. If you've had a filing cabinet like that, you'll know what I'm about to discuss. Have you ever had the experience of trying to cram one more piece of paper into a packed filing drawer? At some point, you have to stop and make some space in the file drawer if you're going to add anything new. Our lives can be like that file drawer. If we're going to take something new, some renewal in our lives, then we have to make space, just like the file cabinet. Sometimes it's easy. We find a file full of old tax records that are beyond any possible use. We celebrate, we pull that out and throw it away, and rejoice at the newfound space in our filing cabinet. We can do that unless, of course, we have some irrational attachment to those documents. My filing cabinets would indicate I have lots of irrational attachments. And of course, we all have irrational attachments to things that we do every day. Making the decision to let go of some old habitual practice can be difficult work. But it's sometimes the simple and the small habits of life that are the hardest to give up. They seem innocuous. They consume a limited amount of time. They make us feel comfortable because they're part of our regular routine. I speak of this from personal experience, and I struggle with these small habits in my life, habits that consume my time and my energies with very little payback. The reading that Marilyn delivered before the sermon was chosen because it marked a time in my life of major renewal, a time when I gave up 35 years working as a professional engineer to renew my life and dedicate it to Unitarian Universalist ministry. It's like that moment when you move from city to city and you're not just making space in the file cabinet, but you're deciding to chuck the entire file cabinet and start a new life. Renewal such as this happens only a few times in a lifetime. And while such events like leaving home for the first time, getting married, starting a new job, or retiring are extremely important times of renewal, they're certainly not the whole story. There is another way. And it's the only way that works for me. To use the metaphor again of the filing cabinet, the only way that I find to make space in my filing cabinet or provide time for renewal in my life is to decide to insert that new file and then live with the consequences. The inescapable need to discard another old file. In practical terms, this means agreeing to a new activity in my life that I know will renew my spirit before I figure out what old activity I'm going to drop. With this perspective, there's no excuse for resisting the call to renewal. Sure, you don't know what will fit into the new important. You don't know how you will fit that new important activity, but you do know that it is important to your growth. It's important to find that space. So you make the commitment for better or for worse. It can be stressful. It can make you feel overloaded at times. But for me, it's the only way that the renewal on a day-to-day basis will happen. The decision by many members of this congregation to get involved in sponsoring a Syrian family move to Canada is an example of that kind of renewal. The initiative required a significant effort, but the decision to proceed was made without concern for what would have to be dropped to make space for this great act of spiritual renewal. The work was clearly too important to be ignored or deferred. As I prepare to close this morning, I turn to reflect on our Sunday services as a time for renewal. Each of you made a decision to attend the church service this morning. In order to be here, you gave up some other activity that you could have been doing on Sunday morning. In the survey that we undertook for our building committee recently, we asked members of the congregation why they belong to the church. And the leading responses were first to be part of a community, and then almost equally important, to attend Sunday services. This puts the work of your worship committee and your minister into its proper perspective. The time we spend together on Sunday mornings is very important to you. It is a time, and should be a time, of renewal, and it deserves the best that we can bring to it. My family was never much into attending church services as I was growing up as a child. But somehow I have memories of a couple of days when I left a church service feeling uplifted, invigorated, and renewed. I have a memory of stepping out the doors of the church with organ music still ringing in my ears and the sun shining on a new day. It was a moment of renewal that somehow stayed with me. And I've spoken to others in this congregation who recall similar experiences at the end of a church service. Attending Sunday services, observing the Sabbath, has been a way to renew our lives for thousands of years in the Judeo-Christian tradition. But the faith that underlies that tradition has been changing dramatically, at least over the last 100 years. The number of people attending traditional church services on Sunday in Canada is declining steeply. We have a need for this weekly pause to renew our lives, but the old model of Sunday service needs renewal if it's going to survive. Unitarian Universalism has part of the answer, if we're bold enough to renew what Sunday services mean. I mentioned last week that the services here and at other UU congregations are much more holistic than religious services of the past. Our services reunite three long separated human endeavors while dealing with issues of mind and heart. First, our services speak in a traditional religious sense about awe and respect for the mystery and the majesty of life and love and the beauty that surrounds us. The religious aspects of our services deal with the ultimate questions of morality and the age-old questions of why. Second, our services speak to the historically recent innovations of the scientific method that reveal a universe that is more miraculous than anything we could ever imagine. And at the same time, these tools provide a way to create a future where humans literally touch the stars and answer the questions of how. How best can we be good stewards of this planet? And finally, our services address a third aspect, the ancient discipline of philosophy that asks, what does it mean for each of us to live a good life? How are we to live day to day in a world so much contradiction, so much joy and potential, and so much pain and missed opportunity? So I'm very happy that you're all here today. The attendance at our services as a percentage of our membership is extremely high by most church standards. But I need your help to continue to improve our Sunday services, and so that you and others will want to fit this time into your schedule of renewal, into your week. Your feedback is important to the worship committee and to me. So when you feel so moved, please make use of the space provided on your order of service for comments and suggestions. I'd like to close now with another quote from the Reverend Peter Morales. I urge you, yes, you, make some space. Space to reflect on what your spirit needs right now. Deep down, you know, we all do, our deepest longings will guide us. Make space for beauty and love and play. Let your spirit heal and soar. And when our spirits are strong and connected, our work for compassion and justice has enduring power. When our spirits are renewed, we are a blessing to one another and a blessing to the world. May it be so.